chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the motto of the Petaloomies. Out in Petaluma, spending my days.
Okay, no. Wait a minute here. This is not Mouthful, so we probably shouldn't play Michelle's Mouthful music. We'll play something a little more in line with what Kirby and I listen to. There we go. Okay, so that's what we would listen to if we weren't going to be on the air with you guys tonight. Kirby Pierce is your normal Sunday afternoon operator. I'm normally engineer and don't say much on Mouthful, but tonight we're both going to be talking. And Kirby has a little bit. Michelle left a birthday request for us when she let us do the show, but she has said, please ask people for this request for my birthday present.
And we do. We do have a request for you, and this is a request directly from Michelle. And it's Michelle's birthday, and what she would like you to do for her birthday, is to buy one or more of her new books. And you can buy those at your local bookstore or specialty shops, wineries, on Amazon. And the date is July the 6th. And happy birthday, Michelle, if I don't see you before then. And here's what she has to say. It's my birthday. I have 6 new books out at 60 plus. There's no time to be coy. What I really want for my birthday is for people to buy my books. You could buy me a birthday present and keep it for yourself or give it to a friend or both. But a spike in sales can launch books, and that's my goal. So that's what Michelle says. And I want to tell you what else you can do, too. And that is check out Michelle on Facebook, and you can share the things that she posts up there. You can tweet them. You can write reviews of her books on Amazon. And believe me, once you get started on Michelle's books, you're going to want to do that.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of her books already, and I really, the recipes are all well-researched. I mean, I know she goes through every one of these recipes sometimes 15 or 20 times until it's to her liking, and then she puts it in her books. She's borrowed recipes from other people and mostly made them better. I guess I don't really know of any that she hasn't made better, so I can't say mostly. She's made them better, and just it's fun working with her, and I like to see her succeed in her books.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I love the most about Michelle's books, I mean, the recipes are absolutely wonderful, and an example of that, I think, is her vinaigrette book, for example. I've certainly used some of those as salad dressings, but I find they also make outstanding marinades. You can use them for things you're going to grill, meats and vegetables. But one of the things I like the most is that I'm a person who likes to know about things, and I look things up. I want to know, you know, who in the world first started eating cauliflower, and where did it come from, and why did they eat it in the first place?
And how did they know that white stuff was not poisonous?
Exactly. And Michelle has wonderful sections in the beginning of her books, for example, in her A Good Cook's Book on Tomatoes. There's a wonderful section in the beginning of the book about tomatoes and where they come from and how they spread around the world and people how people got interested in them. So it's not only are the recipes really good, but the reading is really good, too.
And the photography is great.
The photography is outstanding. It really is. If just looking at those pictures doesn't make you hungry, you probably have already died and just don't know.
Yeah. You know, one of the talking about the vinaigrettes book, that's one of the books I have.
Right.
And one of my favorite recipes. That it's a relatively new book, and it's already thoroughly stained.
I noticed that.
Pages, is the ginger sesame dressing. It's for a dressing for coleslaw. It's a creamy ginger vinegar. Sesame ginger dressing.
Yeah.
And what I do, since we're talking chilling and grilling here.
Exactly.
Or as one of our, as Mary, Mary Moore Campagna says, that's not her radio name, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
She says, oh, it's dude food part deux. But grilling and chilling is way easier to say.
Lots easier, yeah.
So anyway, I use another of Michelle's recipes, which is the it's a rub for pork roast.
Use
a pork butt. You get a nice fat pork butt, and you take roughly equal parts of chipotle, and it's dried chipotles, and grind them up in a coffee grinder.
Yeah,
which I actually another aside here. I ground a bunch of chipotle last night and forgot to clean my coffee grinder out before I made my coffee this morning. And it was quite a shock when I had that first sip.
I'll bet that woke you right up.
Oh, yeah. I had to go make more coffee.
Yeah.
But it burned for quite a ways.
Yeah, I bet.
Anyway, ground dried chipotle chilies and about a third part garlic and about a half of the equal amounts of kosher salt. And you just rub that over the pork, and then I don't have a grill at home, so I use my oven. But you could put it in a grill and put a little bit of mesquite smoke.
This is
departing from Michelle's recipe. Her recipe is the rub, but in a grill with a little bit of mesquite wood and mesquite smoke, and just let it roast until it pulls apart. And then you make tacos. You shred it, and you put that in a hard shell taco. And then you take this sesame ginger coleslaw and put that on top of it. And
oh,
it's just,
man.
It's amazing.
Well, so the sesame ginger coleslaw recipe, that's in the vinaigrette book, yes?
That's in the vinaigrette's book.
So what book is the other recipe in? Do you remember?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
It's a book I've had for 15 years or so. So it has to have been one of her earlier ones. But it's just it's a standby recipe. I've done it many times in lots of different ways.
That sounds absolutely delicious. So I love making tacos at home. I mean, we make fish tacos all the time and stuff, but that sounds really outstanding. I'm going to have to give that a try.
It is. It's really I think what I like is the sweetness of the dressing.
Yeah.
Is a really nice counterpoint to the salty heat of the pork.
Pork benefits from sweet flavors in association with it too. I like to do that. I have a couple of different rubs that I use for pork on my grill, and my favorite one is basically brown sugar based. You know, I like that flavor, and I use that for pork tenderloins and pork chops and all kinds of stuff. I'll pull that recipe up here in a minute and share that with everybody. It's a modification of an Al Roker recipe that I found many, many years ago. But I love cooking pork on the grill, so I'm excited about this recipe you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, pork chops, it's good on pork chops just, you know, without the dressing.
Uh-huh.
But as a rub, just smear it on. It's actually pretty good just drizzled over pork, any kind of pork, even after it's cooked.
I'm definitely going to try that, because that's one. I cook a lot of pork on my grill. We're not big beef eaters at my house, and I just love pork. I could eat it, I don't know about every day, but pretty close to every day.
Yeah. Well, a little earlier, I think you were telling me something about a tomato recipe, going back to the tomato book.
It's a modified recipe. A friend of mine showed it to me, but it's basically what you would do for a caprese salad, except what she did was take big heirloom tomatoes and cut thick slices and grilled the tomato. And then took the olive oil and balsamic vinegar and a little crushed garlic and mixed that all together and brushed it on the tomatoes, and then had a little mozzarella cheese and, a little fresh basil on top of that. And it was outstanding.
Oh, it sounds great.
Yeah,
so
delicious.
You cook the tomato just so it's charred on the outside?
The way she cooked them, there were grill marks on the tomato, and it was soft, but not... she had, you know, cooked the whole tomato, and mm-hmm. so there were marks on the skin on the outside. But it wasn't completely soft. It still had some texture to it.
Oh, so the tomatoes were... She cooked the tomatoes whole on the grill
and then sliced
them.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was thinking you sliced them and then put them on the grill and charred them that way.
You know, I'd be afraid to do that. I'd be afraid some of that juicy stuff would fall right through my grill, which is messy enough as it is.
Yeah.
I love cooking vegetables on the grill. I just think that's the greatest thing that ever happened to vegetables.
Yeah, I do. I've got a couple of really nice recipes, but...
Well, we should talk about vegetables for a little bit. That would be fun. You want to play some music first?
Why don't we play a song?
Sort of in keeping with what we were listening to from Norman Greenbaum, his song about Petaluma. How about something to do with chickens?
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble. It's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. It's a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. Hey, hey, boss man, what do you say? It's easy pickings. There ain't nobody here but us chickens.
Well, you know, since I'm from Petaluma, that's a song that's very near and dear to my heart. And I've always been a big Louis Jordan fan, so... That's one of our musical offerings for this evening, and we're going to have a few more later on. They don't all have to do with food, actually. It's just stuff that music that we sort of like, and we thought you might like it too.
Yeah, we get tired of talking and can't figure out what to say next, and we play some music.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have Michelle's gift for or the depth of knowledge that she has about food. To go on about that. And that's one of the reasons I love her show. I listen to the show almost every Sunday. I don't like to miss it. And I love the fact that she focuses on things that are happening right here in the North Bay. And when she talks about a restaurant or interviews a restaurant owner or somebody who is a producer of food, you can go to that restaurant. You can find that food right here in the county. And I think that's a great thing, being able to eat locally. And we're very blessed in that respect here in Sonoma County.
Oh, yeah. We're just so lucky. I sit here and listen to the guests and frequently get to sample the food as long as it's non-alcoholic.
Right.
Because the FCC doesn't like that. but sometimes I sample it afterwards and hope the state patrol doesn't notice.
But they don't like it either.
It's never that much.
No.
But the remarkable thing is the guests are almost always very knowledgeable, and even if they're not very outgoing, Michelle has a gift of just bringing out
she really does
the gab in people.
Yeah. And for folks out there listening to the show tonight, you know that if you listen to Michelle's program, you know how she gets people to share that passion that they have for what they do. And to me, that's a big part of the fun of the show is, for example, the time she had the two ladies that were beekeepers on the show. And, you know, I don't think about beekeeping as being all that exciting. But when I listen to those ladies talk and talk with Michelle and respond to her questions, it was so easy to hear how excited they were about what they were doing and how much they cared about the product that they were presenting.
Well, and about the bees.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Yeah.
I mean, the bees are their herd, basically.
Yeah.
So they care about them and they take care of them.
And I think that's one of the things that happens very much to our benefit right here in Sonoma County. We have lots and lots of people growing good food. And I'm a farmer's market shopper, and as I was saying earlier, I like to cook vegetables on the grill. And maybe we could talk about that for a minute.
So what do you grill?
Well,
how do you do it?
We went to the farmer's market in Petaluma, the Tuesday farmer's market, and bought some wonderful squash there. There were some nice zucchinis and gray zinnis, and I got some nice yellow squash. And I like to buy fairly thick squash. And what I do is, after I clean them and trim them, I cut them like a zucchini, for example. I would cut lengthwise into three slabs. And the same with a yellow squash, lengthwise into three slabs. And then I toss those with a little olive oil, some fig-infused balsamic vinegar, and about equal amounts of both, and a little bit of salt and pepper. And then I put those on the grill directly over the flame and turn them about every maybe minute and a half until I can see that they're starting to sag just a little bit in the middle. You know, on the pieces that are flat on both sides, you can tell because you'll get some nice grill marks on there, and you can see it starts to turn just a little bit translucent in the middle.
Now, do you clean the seeds out?
No,
before you cook them.
Nope.
No,
I just cook the whole thing, and we like to do those if we're going to cook something that takes a while on the grill. I'll put those on at the end. Like if I'm going to do a tenderloin, that might take 30 minutes on the grill.
Yeah.
So I'll put those on in the front of the grill at the very end, and it's just the most delicious way to cook squash. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Now, do you use gas or charcoal?
I use both. My primary grill right now is my gas grill because I'm lazy. And,
yeah.
You know, I like cooking with mesquite charcoal in my old Weber kettle. It's just that's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
The guy that invented that, there should be a statue to him somewhere, because that's the greatest grill. That and mesquite charcoal. You put the two of those together, and you can't go wrong.
My church, every Thanksgiving, my church does a orphans dinner. You know, so people that don't have any other place to go, members, non-members, homeless, you know, whoever, can come. And one of the things we do. We do a whole variety of turkeys. Some of them we cook in the oven, but we typically grill four or five of them on, on these Weber kettle grills.
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be the smaller ones, because about 12-pound turkey is about the biggest one you can get in there and not have it directly over the heat.
Right, right.
But it takes about 3.5 hours or so, and it has this most beautiful smoky flavor. We use just, you know, Kingsford briquettes like that.
Yeah.
But because mesquite's a little bit expensive to, to do that, to donate. But the whole turkey just comes out, you know, falling apart, and it's completely infused with the smoky flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to do turkeys.
I love cooking a turkey on the grill. You're absolutely right, though. You have to go with a smaller bird. If you need a 16 or 18-pound bird, you're not going to cook that on your grill. I mean, you could, but...
not on your little Weber kettle. Anyway.
No, probably not. Yeah. I also have a Weber gas grill that I use quite a bit, and I cook a lot of chickens and smaller turkeys on that grill, and they work out great.
Yeah.
Just the flavor of cooking it on the grill. And I have a thing that I like to do with chickens on the grill. This is kind of a cool thing. It starts with roasting a whole head of garlic.
Mm.
So right away, everything smells great all around you. You know,
on the grill.
You can do it on the grill. Yeah. It takes about 35 minutes to do a whole head of garlic on the grill. It's easier to do it in the oven because I'll put it in a Pyrex bowl, and I chop the top off of the head of garlic and pour about maybe a teaspoonful of olive oil down inside the garlic clove to spread the heat around a little bit, and then put that in the oven at 350, probably for about 40 or 45 minutes. And at that point, you should be able to just squish out the garlics. So after it cools down a little
bit. It's about like toothpaste.
Yeah, just about that consistency. Do not try to do that, as I have done. I'm holding my hand up here. Do not try to do that as soon as you take it out of the oven, because it's hot. So let it cool down a little bit and squish those out. And then mix in the zest from 2 lemons. Now, I use a microplane to zest the lemons, but however you want to zest your lemons, chop it up real fine, mix that in. Maybe 2 teaspoons of chopped fresh rosemary, a little bit of olive oil, some coarse salt, a little bit of black pepper. I'm probably leaving something out. I'll have to forward that to Michelle and get her to post that up. She puts those up on her blog, doesn't she?
Yeah, she usually posts at least connections for people. Web pages.
Yeah, web pages.
But I think maybe we'll ask her if she can't post some of our recipes. And maybe, who knows, maybe she'll include them in one of her next cookbooks.
That'd be really good.
And this is a reminder. Mm-hmm. She's enjoying her birthday off today, so what she would love for you to do for her birthday is go to Copperfields. Probably a local store would be better, because since she's such an advocate for local, go to a local store, buy one of her cookbooks, and give it to a good friend.
Boy, that's a great idea, because your friend will love you forever, I guarantee you.
Especially if you give them the Vinaigrette's cookbook.
Huh.
The tomato is another one.
I can go back and finish that up. But, you know, and you mentioned the tomato book. There's also this wonderful mustard book that is just, this is incredible. I confess I had not given that much thought to cooking with mustard. I use it as an ingredient in things, but this is the Good Cook's Book of Mustard. And I've been looking through this book, and I have to tell you, there's about 30 things in here that I'm going to be trying. There's just some incredible things with sauces and a summer potato salad, using mustard in desserts.
In desserts?
Who would have thought, you know? But Michelle would have thought. That's who would have thought. But I, like I said, I always enjoy her books. Let me finish up the chicken.
Yeah.
So... You've got this mush that you've put together with your baked garlic and everything. Now, what are we going to do with that? Well, you're going to loosen up the chicken skin, and you're going to pack about half of that, split in half, so a quarter on each side, over the chicken breast, but under the skin. Then truss up the chicken so that you get the legs pulled up in the air. You can do that just with a piece of string, and so that it pulls everything in close to the body, because it's going to be on your grill. So you get your chicken trussed up like that, and then put all the rest of that paste around this, on the outside of the chicken. Then in the cavity, you can put in, say, a couple of tablespoons of lemon juice, a couple of tablespoons of white wine, and three or four sprigs of fresh rosemary. And then put that on indirect medium heat if you have a gas grill. Otherwise, just let the coals burn down until you've got maybe, say, 350 temperature when you put the lid down on your kettle grill.
Yeah. Now, do you put that? Do you rub that up under the skin or just smear it over the top?
No,
of
it goes.
Skin?
It goes both.
Oh,
I put it under the skin on the breasts,
okay.
And then after I truss the chicken up, it goes all around the outside.
Okay.
So then I'm going to put that on indirect heat and close the lid, and I'm going to totally ignore it for about an hour and 10 minutes. And then I'm going to, you know, during that time, I'm probably going to go in the house and make a martini and come back out and sit on my patio and think how wonderful life is because I'm having a martini and cooking a chicken, and it just doesn't get any better than that.
In Sonoma County.
In Sonoma County, yeah, think about that. So at about an hour and 10 minutes, I'm going to go check the temperature in the thigh and in the breast. And in the thigh, close to the body, it wants to be up around 180. And the breast will probably be up around 165. But when it gets up to about that temperature, you're going to take that chicken off and cover it up with foil. And let it sit for about 10 minutes before you cut it. And that way it'll absorb some of the juices back into the meat, and it will be easier for you to cut. I guarantee you, you're going to have the juiciest, tenderest, lemony, roasted garlicky chicken you've ever had, and you'll enjoy eating it. But what you'll enjoy even more is the stock that you're going to make using those bones and the skin and all the leftovers from the chicken. You're going to make a stock that will make the best soups and the best risottos in the wide world.
Well, the thing I really like about that recipe is leave it alone for an hour.
Yeah. It's great.
You know, grilling is typically, you know, you just have to be on it and turning it. And
yeah.
I have one that's kind of similar for chicken, and almost the rub would be great. What I do is I cut the chicken in half.
Uh-huh.
You just take a big cleaver and hack it right in half.
Mm-hmm.
And rub the under the skin. I don't rub anything on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then rub the cavity too. And I use mesquite charcoal, and it burns really hot.
Yeah.
And I put the chicken bone side down right over the hottest part of the coals.
Oh, okay.
And then leave it alone for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then go out, turn it over, chicken side or skin side down, right over the hottest part of the coals.
Mm-hmm.
The olive oil and the butter cause the fire to flare, and then the chicken fat causes the fire to flare. And it basically just destroys, it carbonizes the skin of the chicken.
Wow.
But it stays on the bird.
Yeah.
And then when you're all done, when the fire has burned down to just about to the point where there's nothing, because mesquite burns fast.
Right.
You take it off the grill, peel the skin off, and you've got the juiciest, moist, nicest chicken you've ever had.
Wow!
And again, it's just you don't do anything but turn it once.
It's
I love it.
That's great. And it's like you said, that's my kind of cooking where I can just kind of put it there and not do anything to it for a while. Not like doing a steak or pork chops where you're turning stuff pretty regularly.
Yeah. Unless you really care about grill marks, which. It's nice if you've got company, but for family, nah.
I like to do that. I like to have grill marks on vegetables and on the meats, especially on beef. There's just something about the grill marks on a steak that just, I think it tastes better with grill marks on it. I really do. It's probably completely psychological, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the, what is that, free radical chemistry is what grilling is.
Yeah. I like the fact that when you turn the chicken, everything flares up, too, because that's perfectly in keeping with my wife's theory about why men like to cook on the grill. As she says that men like to cook when there's an element of danger. I'm not sure I agree with that, but, you know.
Well, I just like the fire, you know.
Yeah, the fire.
I mean, I've burned myself several times playing with fire in one form or another.
Well, I've burned myself cooking enough times, that's for sure. Yeah. We got a little more music. You want to play some music, maybe?
I think this is Kevin Russell's Trouble in Mind. He's
a great album.
A friend of yours and yes. a co-band member, if I'm not mistaken.
Kevin is the band leader of the Rhythm Rangers, which is one of the bands that I play in. And also, he leads the Old School Country Band. And we get together on the, I think it's the second Wednesday every month over at the Twin Oaks and have a big get together and play some great tunes.
And that's in Pengrove, right?
Yeah, just in between Petaluma and Pengrove. If you haven't been there, it's a very different place since Sheila bought it a couple of years ago.
Crowd. I hear it's got some killer chicken, fried chicken.
Oh, man, the best fried chicken. Holy cow. Rasta Dwight comes in and does his amazing, wonderful barbecue-ness there. Mm-hmm. And he also... They have this great fried chicken. It's a great place to go and eat and dance your shoes off. It's just a great spot. And I love it because it's 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. Okay, so here's Kevin Russell. Do You Want My Job?
Cool breezes from the mountains blow. I wake up and dress to go. Cross the island, day is breaking. In the harbor, tankers waiting. From the land of the rising sun, they bring their old plutonium. We unload it in the bay. $2.40 a day. Do you want my job? Do you want my job? Do you want my job? Take the cash so my kids can wear Adidas. And if you live here home, you know we ain't got no places to. Remember when the air was sweet, and I brought home the fish to eat. Now we buy Spam from the grocery store, 'cause you can't eat the fish no more. Do you want my job? 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 breezes from the mountains blow. As I wake up and dress to go,
that's Kevin Russell from his album Trouble in Mind. And if you're wondering where Mouthful is tonight...
Yeah, where's Mouthful?
Well, Mouthful is wherever Michelle is, enjoying her birthday day off.
Happy birthday, Michelle.
Yeah, happy birthday, Michelle. I think she's probably up at... I can't think of the name of the place now.
Something to do with food, I bet.
Well, it's up the movie maker.
Oh, Coppola.
Coppola, yeah. She's probably up at Coppola by their pool with a drink in her hand. So happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good birthday to me.
I think so, yeah. Anyway, so this is Kirby Pierce. I'm Mike Young. That's Kirby Pierce.
That's
over
right.
There.
That's me. I'm Kirby
and
Pierce.
We're filling in for Michelle so she can take her birthday off and have some well-deserved rest after pumping out six cookbooks in the last
six
year.
Six cookbooks. Can you imagine?
No, she's been just ragged.
Yeah. She's amazing, though. She knows so much. And it's all right there in the books.
Well, I mean, how much do you have to know to write a whole 200 and some pages about salt?
A lot.
And it's all fascinating.
It is. Like I was saying earlier, not only do I enjoy the recipes in Michelle's books, but I just enjoy the writing. She writes about food. You can almost taste it, you know, and I love having all the background information and all that stuff, because it's interesting and it's good to know about the food that you're eating because it turns into you.
Yeah, you are what you eat, and in a very, very real sense.
That's exactly right.
So it's saying you are what you eat is like you're not going to turn into a carrot, but in the same manner that you use wood to build your house,
right.
Doesn't look like a tree,
right? Yeah,
you are what you eat.
That's exactly right.
And one of the fascinating things she's her new salt book also includes pepper,
mm-hmm.
And she talks about how much the flavor of pepper is changed by it. It's she knows this. She knows all this stuff right off the top of her head, and I hear it multiple times, and I don't remember it. But it's treated with some chemical to make sure it's bug free before it's imported to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it just destroys the nuance. It would be kind of like boiling your wine.
Ugh.
To make sure it's bug free, then you'd boil it, and it just destroys the nuance in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows so much about pepper and salt. And one of the things that she asked us, and if you were listening earlier, you heard this, but one of the things she's asking is for her birthday, rather than get her presents, go to some place like Copperfields.
Right.
And I'm specifically, you can probably get it at Amazon, but it would be better, I think, in her world, because she's such a locavore, that you get it at a local bookstore like Copperfields. Go to the store and buy one of her books. And keep it for yourself or give it to a friend, because there's so many great recipes in there. And I've mentioned a couple of them that I use, and Kirby's said a couple.
I think, too, that makes such a great present, because I know I have received gifts of cookbooks in the past. And I will just mention one of those because it's really special. And it's one of the things that really got me interested in cooking. My wife and I were married in 1973. And we received as a wedding present a copy of The Joy of Cooking from my old Latin teacher from my high school, who was a special friend and a wonderful teacher and whom I really cared about. And that cookbook has had to be retired because I broke it. I used it so much the spine broke. And it was just starting to come apart, but it still has an honored place in my bookshelf. And every time I have another copy of it that I use, but when I open the new one, I still think of Grace Elmore and and think what a wonderful gift that was to give me this cookbook that I have learned so many great things from.
Yeah, and I have. It wasn't given to me by a teacher,
mm-hmm.
but I have one that I learned to bake bread out of.
Ah.
And it was called The Meta Givens Encyclopedia of Cooking. It was two volumes, and it was, you know, this green, plain cookbook.
Yeah.
And I can't find it anymore. It went with one of my former wives.
Ah.
And I can't find it. I found one volume of it at Powell's.
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't the volume that had the bread recipes in it. But it was a really old style cookbook. You know, it didn't use shortening. It used lard.
Yeah.
And it didn't worry about how much butter you were cooking something in. And it told you all, and it had all the tricks for canning,
Good to know.
It was wonderful. It didn't do much grilling though. I think grilling is kind of a local, a more modern
Occurrence. Very, very definitely. There were no, until the 1950s, there weren't really any mass-produced outside barbecues. And it's sort of a suburban phenomenon.
Yeah.
My father didn't barbecue. Matter of fact, he didn't cook at all. He was one of those folks that could burn water, mm-hmm. you know. And so I learned my early cooking, I learned from my mom. But she didn't really barbecue either, and that came, you know, later. When I was in the service, I learned some tricks from some of the guys there and just have always enjoyed it. And I wanted to actually, if we could take a minute, I want to talk about mushrooms.
Yeah.
No,
not that kind.
No, not those. I don't know if everybody loves mushrooms, but in my house, everybody loves mushrooms. And we don't care what kind they are. They can be, you know, button mushrooms, criminies, portobellos, whatever, trumpets,
mm-hmm.
shiitakes. I just love them all. But this recipe that I want to talk about, I've used with, if I cook small mushrooms, buttons or criminies, on a skewer, or if I do whole portobellos on the grill, which if you haven't done that, do it. Go out right now and do it, because it's just like one of the greatest things ever.
And if you've got vegan friends coming over for a barbecue, grilled portobello is perfect.
Absolutely, it is. And this is a recipe that I use for it's not really a marinade. It's kind of a thick spread that I just kind of take a brush and put lightly on the mushrooms. But you take a couple of tablespoons of olive oil. That's what we're going to start with. I'm going to put in a couple of tablespoons of chopped rosemary. It's good if you can do that, get fresh. The same with the thyme, a tablespoon of that. A tablespoon of minced shallots and a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar. Again, I like to use a fig-infused balsamic vinegar because it adds a little different kind of a flavor to it. Now, here's the secret ingredient. You've got all that stuff in there, and we're going to put in a tablespoon of whole grain mustard.
Mustard.
Yeah, that's the secret ingredient here. And then you need a teaspoon each of minced garlic and a little bit of salt. You can put in some black pepper if you like. It doesn't really need it, but the original recipe I had called for that. And you whisk that all up together, and it will actually keep in your fridge, if you seal up the container nice and tight, it'll keep in your fridge for a couple of weeks. And you can put that, I love it on mushrooms. I do that if I do mushrooms on a skewer, I put that on them. For portobellos, I'll put it on the backside of the portobello and grill them. And, you know, you can use, portobellos are so amazing. You can use those as the inside of a sandwich. You can use them as the outside of the sandwich if you want to. It's just absolutely an amazing, amazing mushroom. The recipe that I just gave you, that can be used also. I've used it with squash. I've used it with a variety of different vegetables. Bell peppers. I like it on the outside of a bell pepper also.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to grill bell peppers, those are really good. Anyway, that's kind of my, like I said, I love grilling vegetables anytime I have an opportunity to do it. And I used most of that recipe, not all those ingredients, but most of it with some bell peppers on the 4th of July when I was I did, you know, the traditional hot dogs on the grill. Mm-hmm. And my wife made this wonderful potato salad and we grilled some bell peppers and I just love them on the grill. And that on the outside just adds that really extra zip that's real nice.
So what else did you grill?
That was basically it. I did did hot dogs and bratwurst because I have to have sausages, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, I grilled the buns on the grill for a little bit. Got to do that. And potato salad and bell peppers and we had all kinds of other wonderful stuff, you know, pickles and one of our guests brought some delicious ice cream that was just to die for. And I have a passion for ice cream, I have to confess. You know, yeah. We all have our weaknesses, I guess.
Oh, I love ice cream. Yeah. I like vanilla. It's just plain vanilla ice cream is what I like.
Yep.
Or malt, with the malt.
Oh, yeah. I like any like on a hot summer day, a nice milkshake. Yeah. Can't beat it. What do you think? Should we have a little more music? I wouldn't mind hearing some more music.
Yeah.
I was thinking about something maybe a little... we were talking about cocktails a few minutes ago. Maybe something old-fashioned.
That would work.
So okay.
Here we go.
That's the Jimmy Lunsford Band, one of the bluesiest of the big bands, and I've always liked these guys, and I found out, I was talking with my mother-in-law, I guess about 20 years ago, and she was born in 1918, and is still living in Petaluma, 97 years old, grand lady she is, and the Jimmy Lunsford Band, the people we just listened to, played at her high school graduation dance.
Oh, man.
And, you know, those were good days when you could have a band like that playing at your high school dance.
Well, you know, I grew up in Denver. We were just talking off the air, but I grew up in Denver.
Right.
And they had an amusement park called Elitch's.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a ballroom, an open-air ballroom. It was only in the summer, called the Trocadero.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents used to take me to Elitch's for the amusement park, and we'd stand outside and listen to big bands play. This would have been late 60s, early 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
And it was just fabulous bands playing there.
Elitch's is great. I loved Elitch's. Yeah. I was stationed in Denver. We were talking about that. I took my tech school there. And my mother, who lives in Tennessee, had spent some time in Denver. So I called her up and asked her, you know, before I went there, what should I do? And she said, oh, you got to go to Elitch's. It's great.
Yeah, it had a great old roller coaster called Mr. Twister.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, yeah.
A big old wooden roller coaster, and it creaked and
rattled and
and they recently sold the land, or not recently, it's probably 25 years ago now, but yeah. They sold that land because they just couldn't expand anymore.
Right.
And have moved all the way right downtown next to the rail yards.
Oh, yeah. It's in a completely different location now. I drove past there. I was in Denver, this has been 2 years ago, and to visit family, and we drove past there, and I was surprised to see it there.
Yeah.
Because I remember it, you know, out at the edge of town. And anyway, that was a... had a good time being in Denver.
Denver was a nice town. But back to grilling.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I had mentioned earlier about dry rubs for pork. Mm-hmm. And how most of my dry rubs are a brown sugar-based rub. And I had promised that I would talk about that recipe that's based on an Al Roker recipe originally. And so I want to tell you what that was. And I use this. I love it on pork tenderloin. It's the greatest thing. And also on pork chops. But the basic rub is starts with a quarter cup of brown sugar. And then I add a tablespoon of kosher salt. And a tablespoon of adobo seasoning, which you can pick up at Lola's Market if you live in Petaluma. They just happen to have it right there.
And there's one in Santa Rosa, too.
Yes, there is. That's right. A tablespoon of smoked Spanish paprika, a tablespoon of chili powder, a couple of teaspoons of cinnamon, and an ingredient that I wouldn't have thought about, but that it definitely adds to the flavor, 2 teaspoons of allspice. And I use the Jamaican allspice, and it really makes for a great dry rub for pork. And I make those exact amounts and ingredients, and that will last me for a couple of months, you know, of doing different grills.
Well, you know, and one of the cool things about living in Santa Rosa in Sonoma County is we've had as guests on Mouthful at least 2 different spice purveyors.
Exactly.
That buy spice and grind them fresh locally. So it's not a matter of going to Safeway or some other chain store and buying whatever spice they happen to have that's been in the bottle for a year and a half.
Exactly.
By the time you get it, you can go to these purveyors. Savory Spice is one.
Yep.
The Spicery.
Yep.
And I'm forgetting the others, but get the spice that was ground yesterday.
Yeah. And it does make a difference. It's like using freshly ground pepper. It does make a difference in the flavor of the food. And, you know, ask yourself, if you don't deserve the very best, who does?
Well, yeah, exactly. And the other question to ask yourself is, how many years has this bottle of spice been in my spice drawer?
Oh, yes.
And if it's more than half, mm-hmm. throw it out.
Yeah.
Go get some fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it'll make your recipes taste completely different.
Well, I know for myself, my wife and I started growing some of our own seasonings in the backyard. Like rosemary is really easy to grow here.
Yeah.
Thyme you can grow here very easily. Chives.
Oregano takes over the yard.
Yes, it will. Don't do that.
Put it in a pot.
Yeah. Plus, you can go to the Mexican markets like Lola's in Petaluma, and they have the Central American oregano, which tastes a little bit different, and I really like it. But, yeah, there's no substitute for good, fresh seasonings.
No.
And it doesn't take a lot of extra time to chop some stuff up, a couple of minutes.
Yeah, actually, speaking of chopping, you can make your own sausage. The other day I had a pork butt.
Yeah.
And it was too big for the pan, so
okay.
I ended up chopping about a third of a pound, you know, chopping the end off, about a third of a pound.
Yeah.
And the next morning I woke up and I thought, what am I going to do with this? And I I found a recipe for Italian sausage. And so it's a little bit of fennel, a little bit of chili. And I actually just took a chef's knife and chopped it on the cutting board into a fairly coarse chop. Made my own breakfast Italian sausage. It was just, you know, it's simple. It's easy. I know exactly what was in it.
Yep.
Wasn't any fillers.
Yep. And it was fresh right there on the spot. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. My daughter is a great cook, too, and one of the things that she often says is, you know the old expression, put your money where your mouth is?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we haven't been using that expression correctly all these years. Maybe what it means is buy good food. Put that in your mouth.
Especially since we live where it's so available.
Oh, man.
I mean, you have to work to not buy good food around here.
That's true. And the farmers markets, we have so many great farmers markets here in the county. We were talking before the show about the Sonoma Farmers Market, which is huge, absolutely wonderful. But we have a couple of nice ones in Petaluma. They have an excellent farmers market in Santa Rosa.
We have several.
Rohnert Park.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. Sebastopol has a great one.
Bodega Bay has one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody has a farmers market, so there's no excuse. I mean, it's probably closer. You have to plan to get there, but it's probably closer than your supermarket is.
Yep. Do we have to do some closing credits or underwriting or anything like that? It seems to me I recall something about that.
Well, I'm going to do one more little blast out that Michelle is taking a well-deserved birthday off.
Happy birthday.
Has asked for, as a gift, for you guys to go to Copperfields and buy one of her cookbooks. For yourself or for somebody else.
For me. You could give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Send it back here and put either Kirby's name or my name on it, and we'll happily accept them. I've got the vinaigrette cookbook, so don't buy me that one.
Right. But, and I have the tomato one.
Yeah. So something else. And now we're going to give you a little bit of Mouthfuls flavor on the way out.